Good morning. I have to see that I'm all hooked up here. I don't get to come up here very often and realize this morning I was without Mike, and that would not have been very helpful for y'all. First of all, this morning, I just want to praise God for what he's been doing in my life. Recently, some of y'all know that I went to Liberia, and just want to give you a little report on that as we begin. The country of Liberia, West Africa, is both a land of incredible beauty, but also extraordinary hardship. It is a country about the size of Tennessee with a population of approximately 4 million people, of which nearly 1.2 million live in the capital city of Monrovia. Liberia's gross domestic product is the third lowest in the world, and they have an approximate annual income of about $500 a year, or $42 a month. Easily over 95% of the entire country is without the infrastructure needed to provide electricity, clean water, roads, housing, and adequate food supplies. Many highly communicable diseases are widespread, including tuberculosis and malaria. Liberia imports 90% of its rice, a staple food, and is extremely vulnerable to food shortages. In 2007, 20.4% of children under the age of 5 were malnourished. In 2008, only 17% of the population had access to adequate sanitation facilities. Both of those situations continue today. I recently returned as part of a team that helped drill wells, hold medical clinics, and lead church leadership training. I had to be a part of a well drilling team, and we were successful this time to dig two wells where people now have clean water out in the bush of Liberia. At the second village, when the well was dedicated, an extraordinary thing happened when the Muslim chief, in his remarks of thankfulness, even told us that the village would donate land so a church could be built there. What amazing thing God did in the hearts of those people, opening doors to the gospel even in a Muslim village. Our medical team also provided 5 free medical clinics where they saw close to 1,000 patients and helped dispense not only various medicines, but also share the love of Jesus. And as I said earlier, I helped lead 4 days of church leadership training for pastors, elders, and teachers. 2 weeks ago today, I was worshiping with our team in a small Liberian church. And just prior to the sermon, as a part of their regular service, time was given for the people to share their hearts about what God was doing in their lives. About 7 to 8 people spoke briefly, but what they said was remarkable to me as they spoke of their gratefulness to God for saving them, for his faithful work in their lives, and their gratefulness for their church and for their pastor. All of this thanksgiving came from people who daily live in an area bereft of what many of us would consider the basics of life. These people had little clean water for drinking and food preparation, no running water in their homes, no electricity, little in the way of food variety, and living in houses that most of us would deem uninhabitable. Yet regardless of their physical circumstances, there was a real joy and thanksgiving expressed to God for all that he had done. I've often thought that going to places like Liberia is a good thing, especially for us comfortable Americans. It might teach us how blessed we are, and possibly we might not take all the blessings we have from God for granted. Liberia is a good place to learn thankfulness. While I was there, I knew that I would be speaking this Sunday morning, and obviously if you're the one who has been told that you're going to share what it means to be thankful, that's kind of running through your mind as you're going through all those days. And it was kind of going through my mind. Every evening, we're in a climate where you have to understand it's near the equator. So constantly you sweat. So if that makes you uncomfortable, That's the kind of place we were in. And just constantly you just sweat. And every day you think, there's one thing I'm looking forward to, and that's a shower. But actually there they don't have running water, so you don't take a shower. You take a cup bath. If you haven't had that privilege yet, it's this real simple thing. You fill up a container or a bucket, and you get you a cup that's about the size of a two-cup measuring cup. And, you pour that over your head, and that's your shower. But it's actually a great relief for a few minutes because that water comes out of a well, and it's actually cold. So you look forward to that all day to get that shower, get some of the grime off. But then you get dressed again, and you're sweating again. And so it's, you know, so all these things are happening, and we're staying in a place that very questionable at best as far as living quarters. And we're sitting out on the front porch one night, and it gets dark over there really quickly. That's not just because the sun goes down. It's just because there's no lights, too. And so one of the big challenges you have every evening is like staying up as late as possible, because then you want to be able to sleep. And so we're sitting out on the front porch, and we hear this noise above our head, and I look over to one of the local guys and say, "What's that?" He said, "Well, you know, that's the rats." And, you know, that's okay. They're above our heads and all that, and that's good. And so later that evening, I made it to 8:30 that night, I think, and we're staying in this little room, and I should have brought a picture of this. You'll like this. And I'm laying there on my little cot, which is about 4 inches off the floor, and laying on my back and just thinking. And all of a sudden I hear them. And they're having like a free-for-all in the ceiling above my head. And I'm just praying, "God, let's hope the ceiling holds." You know, I don't know how, you know, strong that ceiling is. Later that night, we had a real blessing. We're right at the end of the rainy season there in Liberia, and it started pouring. And again, my little cot's near a window, which that's a good thing, because there's no screens or nothing, but at least there's some airflow. And it starts, you know, sprinkling kind of in this little moisture, and I'm thinking, this is really good. Until the rain, which really came down, started coming in on top of me in a steady stream up and down my bed. And then, you know, you're scrambling and trying to figure out where we're going to go and get away from the rain. When these things are happening, great opportunities to be thankful. I mean, there's so much I take for granted. And again, I'm sitting thinking, you know, how can I be thankful even in the midst of this situation? And I think Liberia can be a place that helps you really focus on that. But I really believe that the same is true for us here in America. We don't have to go to Liberia to learn what it means to be thankful. We can be right here in Greenville, South Carolina, and we can learn even here what it means to be a thankful people, thankful to what God has done in our lives, as Ross was mentioning earlier, but thankful for all that he is doing in other people and in through our church. We can be a thankful people. This time of year, it's a commonplace kind of thing. We have both believers and unbelievers say that this is the time of year that we as a nation gather and we should be thankful people. People encourage us to be thankful for our families, for our friends, for our homes, for our jobs, and even for our country. It's kind of this, we have this aura or this atmosphere of thankfulness. The problem with that is that it doesn't usually last very long. I don't know if y'all have noticed that. Because, you know, we're an interesting people as Americans. We take a lot of things for granted. We just assume they'll always be there. We think about relationships, and we're thankful to have people around us for a day or two. But then we're kind of like, about time for you guys to hit the road again. It's just the way we are. And actually, we gather together, and And after we've had a meal and maybe played some games or done some activities together, some of us are even pulling out our laptops and we're looking at those thousands of emails that talk about Black Friday. And all of a sudden, instead of being thankful for what we have, we're starting to be unthankful and thinking about things we don't have, things we should have. And so it becomes a really kind of interesting dynamic. Thankfulness, being grateful, but then being reminded about all that we don't have. And if our relationships aren't happening the way we think they should, you know, there's this tension that can start to build. And I think part of that is that being sincerely thankful is really baseless. Baseless exercise if God is not connected to our conversations and to our lives. Even the leaders of our country, the early leaders, realized that Thanksgiving not connected to God is a short-lived experience and actually worthless. It's very interesting to note that the comments the Congress documented in December of 1777 as they declared the first national Thanksgiving. I'd like to read this to you, and I'd like also to send this up to Congress today so they will remember from whence they came. Sorry about that. Listen to what they said. This is very interesting. This is what Congress said December 1777. For as much as it is the indispensable duty of all men to adore the superintending providence of Almighty God. So they're saying it's the duty of all men to adore the superintending providence of Almighty God, to acknowledge with gratitude their obligation to him for benefits received, and to implore such farther blessings as they stand in need of. It is therefore recommended to the legislative or executive powers of these United States to set apart Thursday, the 18th day of December next, for solemn thanksgiving and praise. And listen to this. This is what they're encouraging the people to do. That at one time and with one voice, the good people may express the grateful feelings of their hearts and consecrate themselves to the service of their divine benefactor, and that together with their sincere acknowledgments and offerings, they may join the penitent confession of their manifold sins, whereby they had forfeited every favor from his hand, and their humble and earnest supplication that it may please God through the merits of Jesus Christ, mercifully to forgive and blot out said sins. It's pretty amazing that men of Congress would encourage us that part of the duty of all men is to adore God, to acknowledge gratitude to our God. True thanksgiving must be connected to our God and come from spirit-transformed hearts. And I believe that God would have us learn even more so what that means today as we look at Psalm 100. So if you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to turn to Psalm 100. If you're using a pew Bible, it's on page 500. Psalm 100. And again, if you're using a pew Bible, it's on page 500. And as we read the psalm, I would ask you to please pay careful attention to what the psalm is about and what we are called to do. Who the psalm is about and what we are called to do. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. This is a psalm of thanksgiving to our God. In fact, if you look at this emphasis in the psalm, you'll find that the focus of the psalm is on Him entirely. This psalm is about the awesome God that most of us profess to follow. And when thinking about our God, this should cause an outpouring of praise and thanksgiving, adoration, and blessing to come from us constantly. We should daily be thankful people, daily serving our God with gladness, overwhelming joy, and pleasure. We should be people who look forward to coming into His presence because we're going to experience a time of great joy with a God that loves us more than we can imagine. The question is for us this morning in our brief time is that your experience? Is that my experience? Do I look at God and say, I can't wait to be before my God to thank Him and praise Him for everything that He's doing, not only what He's done in my life, but even beyond my life? So this morning, we want to get to that point where that's part of who I am, not just something that we talk about over a little holiday period, but something that's real and actual in our lives on a daily basis. Not something when something just great happens, but something that is the heartbeat of our hearts. So we want to look at, first of all, what this psalm is about and who is it about. And first of all, it is about God. It says here, He is the Lord. Isaiah 45 says, "For thus says the Lord who created the heavens, He is God, who formed the earth and made it. He established it. He did not create it empty. He formed it to be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord and there is no other." Who is God? He is the Lord. He is sovereign over everything. And He is our Creator. It is He who made us, not we ourselves. The psalmist in 139 reminds us again, which is just an incredible thing about our God and how passionate He is about each and every one of us. He says in Psalm 139, "You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. Therefore, I praise You. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are Your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from You when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In Your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are Your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with You." Our God is the one who gives us our very breath. He's the one who fashioned and created our physical bodies. He's the one who gives us the capacity to think and make decisions, the strength to do what He's called each one of us to do every day. In Him we live and move and have our being. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. This is who our God is. Ought to be a great encouragement that God who loves us, He is our Creator. And secondly, this psalm reminds us of who we are. We are His. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I think about that, it just ought to blow us away. I mean, we are God's. I mean, have you thought about that? Just think about that. I'm not just out here. It's not just random. Psalm reminds us that I am God's. We are His. He is our Redeemer. He is our Good Shepherd. We are His people, as the psalm says here. We are the sheep of His pasture. It is He who has promised to provide for us. He is our provider, our protector. He's the one who faithfully, every single day, leads us hour by hour. We are His. We are His. We are sons and daughters of the living God. We are in His family. And again, that should be just an encouragement to our hearts, an encouragement to praise our God, and should, again, encourage us to be thankful. We don't serve a God who is always trying to destroy us. No, we serve a God who loves us. And we are in His family. Paul says in Galatians, he says this about our God. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. That was us. We were under the law. It was going to be impossible for us to ever have a relationship with our God. And it says, he sent forth his son to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. We are his. We are his children. We are in his family. Should again be something that stirs our hearts. He says also, Paul says also in Ephesians, he says, by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not your doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For, here's the phrase again, we are his. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The psalm reminds us of who we are. We are his. And how do sheep, which is those who follow Jesus Christ, how do we respond to him? Because he's our creator and our redeemer, and because we are his, we can now enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. We give thanks to him. We adore him. We bless his name. It's part of what we're gathered here today to do. We're not just going to listen to me speak, sing some songs, but we're trusting God that God's going to give all of us that kind of opportunity to bless his name, to magnify his goodness in our lives. And the idea of blessing his name is this idea of adoration. And tied up in that is even the idea that we would kneel before our God in reverent awe and wonder. James Montgomery Boyce says, if there is no other reason why we must be thankful to God, it is because he has both made us and redeemed us. No one should be more thankful to God than the sheep who are cared for by the good shepherd. So why do we respond? We respond, as it says here, for three reasons. First of all, to acknowledge that our God is good. Our God is good always. As Psalm 34 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Lamentations 3 mentions that the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Nahum says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him. We respond as people who acknowledge the goodness of our God. And that goodness is not just something when things are going well. That goodness of our God to us and the experience of that goodness is all the time. All the time. Not just when things are going good. God is good all the time, always, in all circumstances. Even in things we don't understand. So one thing I've learned this fall is David Platt mentions this, is that I have a limited perspective on life. I have a limited perspective. There are things I do know, but I want to tell you, there's a lot I don't know. And I don't know what God's always doing. I don't know about you. But God does things in mysterious ways. But even in the things that he does, all of those things that God does, they're good. And all that he does is good. We have a limited perspective. We could think that's really, really bad. Guess what? We don't know. We don't know. We don't know what God's up to. But we can count on this one thing for certainty. God is good. And God will get glory out of what he is doing. Ross read it earlier from 1 Chronicles. He says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. So we respond by acknowledging that God is good, but we also respond by acknowledging that his steadfast love is forever. It's unending. It's reliable. It's resolute. In fact, this idea of God's steadfast love for us is mentioned over 190 times in Scripture. And it's also part of his own description of who he is. In Exodus 34, he passed before Moses and he proclaimed, the Lord, God speaking of himself, I'm a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Our God's love toward us is forever. It's forever. We don't ever have to doubt that God loves us. He said his love for us is forever. And it says that he is the one, he says in Deuteronomy 7, 9, he says, therefore, the Lord your God is God. And listen to this very carefully. The faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. That's our God. There's never not one time, not one second that God's love for us is not happening. We may not feel it. It's part of our nature is we want to feel that love. But the reality is God's love, just like his goodness, is happening toward us all the time. And we respond, thirdly, to acknowledge that he is faithful to all generations. Psalm 79:13 says, but we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will give thanks to you forever. From generation to generation, we will recount your praise. I know that in some families, Thanksgiving time, Christmas, times when we gather together, some of you practice this idea of sharing God's what God's done, what we're thankful for God around the dinner table. It's kind of like an exercise, but really, in Deuteronomy, the father and the mother are told, as part of us being parents, that we're to show God, speak of God's faithfulness every day to this next generation. Each generation needs to know about the faithfulness of our God. So why are we going to give thanks today? And I really want to just kind of framework this so that you'll think about this a little bit, because we're going to ask you to come forward and share things that God is doing. So let me give you some ideas first of all. First of all, we want to have an opportunity today to make known God's deeds among his people. Give you an opportunity to say what God has done in your life among us. Demonstrations of his faithfulness, his wondrous works, his miracles. Secondly, we want to encourage today that we would speak about how we've been set free from sin and are becoming slaves to righteousness. Romans 6 says, thanks be to God that you were once slaves of sin, and now you have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching in which you were committed and have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Today, wouldn't it be incredible that we can stand before people and say, God has set me free from this sin and I'm living unto righteousness? That is part of what we would like to thank God for today. And I think just like, thirdly, just like these people that shared in that little church in Liberia, I think today we want to give thanks to God for our brothers whose faith is growing, their love is increasing to each other, for each other. As Paul mentions in 2 Thessalonians, he says, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as it is right, because your faith is growing abundantly and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Wouldn't it be great today that we can talk about people in our lives that have impacted us for the gospel, impacted us, given us a passion for God and his glory. And what we have seen in people's lives has not pointed us to them, but has pointed us to God. How are we going to do this? I would just like to say this in closing. Two things. First of all, with our whole hearts. Psalm 138 says, I give thanks to God with my whole heart. Please make this a time where we thank God with every fiber of our being for what he has done in our lives. Our whole hearts. And secondly, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. A relationship with Jesus will enable us to offer testimonies of thankfulness to our God. Let's trust God to be the one who's exalted today. And let's trust God that He will give us hearts of thankfulness for what He's doing, for His glory, and for what He's doing in our lives that, again, point to Him. Will you join me in prayer? Father, we oftentimes are not a very thankful people. I know I'm not. I can grumble and complain with the best. And I can look at things and I can think, God, they should be different. I don't like this. And Father, I just pray that in my own heart and in the hearts of your people gathered here today, Father, that you would do a work by your Spirit to transform our hearts so that, Father, we might be a thankful people, a grateful people, that we'd be encouraging thankfulness in others. Father, we don't want to gather here and just say things that just make us feel good. But Father, we want to come to you in the name of Jesus Christ with sincere hearts that praise you, God, and thank you, that adore you. Thank you for your goodness, for your steadfast love that endures forever, generation after generation. So God, we commit the time that we will have today to share. We commit our lives to you. And we again ask that by your Spirit, you will transform us into a thankful people, ones who encourage and experience thankfulness in our lives. And God, we again thank you that we can even come to you this morning because of what your Son has done. The greatest thing that could ever be done for us, you've already done. And Father, we come and we thank you. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.
This week, as you looked around and listened, you see two prominent aspects of our culture just coming out everywhere, and that is greed. We are a very materialistic culture, and immorality. It's ubiquitous. I mean, it's everywhere. And what God really spoke to my heart about was, because my heart is drawn toward both of those things, apart from His grace, but in Ephesians 5, when He's describing the fact that we are children of the light, we are different than the world around us, he contrasts this immorality and covetousness with thankfulness. Like, one of the indicators that we're part of this kingdom we just sang about is that we give thanks. And giving thanks is not just an indicator, but it's actually an antidote to greed and immorality. Because of people who are truly grateful, reveling in the grace and goodness of God, are being built up to resist conformity to a culture that is hedonistic and characterized by immorality. So what we're doing today, and as Alan said, is not just for today. It's a lifestyle of God's children. As we give thanks, is we're really embracing this freedom that God brings about through Jesus Christ. And giving thanks is one of the primary ways we experience that. So let's take a few minutes now, and just one after another. And there are empty seats up here in the front, so don't wait for a break, because if you do, you'll miss out. And just one after another, just come up here, give your name, and then just give thanks. And just try to keep it to 20, 30 seconds of, I just want to give thanks that God is doing this, has done this. If you're struggling with giving thanks for something, because right now it feels like you can't, we would love to pray with you about that too. And if someone, before you're giving thanks, if someone shares that kind of struggle, then be sure to pray for them. And we will be rejoicing with those who rejoice, and weeping with those who weep and praying for one another as we share. So don't think of this time as being a spectator. If someone else is giving thanks, give thanks with them. If someone is struggling to give thanks, pray for them. Participate in this time together. Lord Jesus, we have so much to be thankful for. We are not children tossed about by the waves around us, swallowed by culture that is characterized by immorality and greed, locked in on status and stuff. You have opened our eyes. Your Holy Spirit shows us a different way, a way of freedom, a way of life, a way of love. And one of the primary indicators of that is that we are thankful. And because we worship you, we actually have someone to give thanks to. And so, Lord, we want to do that now. So please hear the cries of gratefulness of your children now. May these words rise up to you and please you, not because they're meritorious in and of themselves, but because all of our thanksgiving is a reflection of the grace that you have poured out on us. We pray that the focus of our thanks would be you. And even as each of us give thanks in our seats, we pray that as those people share from the microphone or from the seats, that all of us would be unified in our praise to you. So we give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
By the way, this goes up and down. So, I'm Alan Shear, and I'm the other Alan. A lot of people think we're twins. I'm thankful for so many things, but I'm not going to mention them all. But I just want to say that I'm so thankful for you, and I love this church. I love the people that God has placed us with. And we had the harvest offering, and I was thinking, well, we don't have a big thing. We're not paying off our building. What will happen? And yet God has given us so many opportunities in to extend the gospel and to see the way that you showed up and evidently had been praying and seeking God and your heart to not just do something for us here, but to be excited about extending the gospel to new places was just such a huge blessing to me. And I just want to express, I think, not just for me, but for all the pastors and elders and all of us, that we are so grateful for you. And we are humbled and we are so challenged to wisely use what you have sacrificially given. So that's my thanks.
This is long overdue. But I just want to express my gratitude to God. Some years ago, I was sitting right here, and we were singing one evening, and the line that God can move the mountains. And I was thinking of my son, who was an unbeliever out in California. And I thought, God, that's a mountain. And it seemed absolutely impossible to me that he could move that mountain. But within 6 months, my son was a believer, and I was in California, and I was in church with him, and we were singing that song. And what a blessing it was. I was just tears of joy just flowing. And I guess it was a few days ago, I talked to him, and he told me, he said, Dad, I just want to be pure. I know I can be holy, and I want to be that way. And so, anyway, just so thankful. And many people in this church, they were praying for my son and praying for us. And so I just want to express that gratitude. Thank you.
My name is Glenn, and I want to praise God for rescuing me recently. He rescued me from colon cancer. I just praise him.
My name is Barbara Martin, and I have so much to praise God for, this vibrant, beautiful church with all these young adults raising good families. It just blesses me to no end. And believe it or not, I heard something on public radio the other day, and I took it out of its context, but it was talking about reinventing yourself. Well, Thanksgiving dinner, one of my grandkids said, "Gotti, how old are you?" And I said, "I'm 81 going on 18. I've got mathematical dyslexia." But reinventing ourselves at our age is a challenge, and I challenge anybody, what they talk about old at 65, which is nonsense, to reinvent yourself and make your plans for the rest of your life, and we're free of a lot of the stuff that we found out was not important. And, of course, we have the heartache of seeing grandkids and our own kids maybe making some pretty serious mistakes, but God's great, and he's so good. And Sarah, when we were studying Hebrews, we read 11th chapter and, you know, just gloss over it. And it hit me when I was reading about Sarah, and by faith, she received strength to conceive. Well, that meant she had to raise this child, too. And all moms know that. But God restored her body cell by cell and all those muscles and all that to carry this child and recover kind of lost years when she should have been having babies years before she had it then. And if God can do that for Sarah, well, all of us over 65, we can do more hustling instead of hobbling and make that commitment to make the best of our remaining years by God's grace and faithfulness. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jim Andrews, and I just want to thank the Lord for, well, helping my wife and I battle through the sins of discouragement and great anger, and he is just so good and faithful. Thank you.
I'm Jeff Childs. I want to first thank God for continuing to save me, a sinner. I just look back on this past year and see times of being disoriented and confused, and God continues to appropriate his gospel to me and show me Christ in new ways. And so I thank him for that. And secondly, I want to thank God for his faithfulness this year in continuing to heal Laura, my wife. She had a brain tumor, and he's continuing to heal her. And so we're very thankful to him for that. And also for just the way he's shown us his faithfulness in that he's trustworthy. And he's shown us his steadfast love through that, even when we have doubt and fear. So we give thanks to him for that. And also we want to thank you, the body, for caring so deeply for us this past year. We've seen the love of Christ through you, so we give thanks to him for that too. Thank you.
My name is Chet Bednar, and my brother is a professing atheist currently. And he moved out of our house at 19 and started living his own way and was very antagonistic towards the Bible and towards Christians, towards anything to do with God. He didn't want to believe it. He wanted to live in the way he saw fit. And praise the Lord, he's asking questions, and he's moved back with my parents. And he's asked if they can have a Bible study with him and talk about the hard questions. And he has yet not come back to Christ or come to Christ for the first time, but I want to thank God for how he's going to work in my brother's life and for how he's currently working in his life. And we can already see his power moving in my brother's heart, and it's also brought my parents and I closer together, which I praise God for.
My name is Belle Bryan. I had stomach troubles when I was in third grade for a year and a half. By God's grace, he has healed me through all of your prayers, and I just want to thank you guys and God for that.
My name is Jaquetta Jackson, and I didn't want to get up because it was more comfortable in my seat, but I had to deny myself and get up here because to tell how good God is and how grateful I am today. I'm a recovering addict, and I'm currently going through the renewal program. And God has done for me today what I could not do for myself. And he's restored and he's delivered. And I know he has so much more planned for me. And I just want to get up and just tell how grateful I am today. I am.
My name's Emily Park. I've been coming here for a couple months. This year has just been so amazing. January 1st, I was sort of like, okay, let me look at my life. And I was like, wow, Lord, I think there's some things that need to change. And within this year, since January 1st, God's provided me a new job, a new home, a whole lot of things, and a new group of people to worship with. And one of the best things is God's been teaching me so much about the gospel, so much about his grace, so much about his love, and this church has been a big part of that. So I really am so thankful for the worship here, for the focus on the gospel, and just that I'm able to grow in a way that I haven't in many years as a Christian.
Hey. My name is Kim Hall. And I just want to thank God for my family, my parents that go to church here with us every week, and for my husband and my four children that I'm so proud of. I'm especially proud of my boys who have gone off to college and are growing so much in Christ. I'm continually amazed at how good God is to us, and we're so undeserving, but I thank him, and I thank this church for the leadership that we have, and just praise God.
I'd like to pray for Joquenna. Father, we just pray for her right now. We pray that you give her strength and courage. We know that she still has struggles. We know that you are there behind her, something that she has not had before. And we thank you that you can support her. We just pray that on a daily basis, Lord, that she continue to look up for strength from you. And that she does not look towards herself. She does not look towards humans and others for strength, but solely for you. In Jesus' name. I wanted to thank the Lord for an opportunity of being able to see strength in our shepherding group. Even a connection to another shepherding group. And there's been a lot of some heartaches and some hurts. But what I love to see the most is that instead of what I used to see in people running away from problems or issues, that they come together. That they choose to go through the hard times and come out smiling and thanking the Lord for hearts that have changed. And I'm thankful that we've been able to see that. I'm thankful for the North Hills been able to encourage us to continue in shepherding groups and to even have a leader that would bring the shepherding group leaders together and encourage us to continue to help those around us. And I just thank God for that opportunity of shepherding groups and those that are in it. And I encourage any of the other groups out there that if you are having troubles, to continue to look towards the leadership and to seek God and bring communion together in amongst the groups. And lastly, some of you know that my father passed away a couple of weeks ago. And you have to bear with me. He was a great man. thankful that my mom's here with us today. We had a good time for Thanksgiving, and I'm just thankful that I could share with others about my father when I was up in Pennsylvania. Thank you for those of you that prayed for me and called me. That was very nice, and the flowers that the church sent. Thank you.
My name is Todd Slocum. This is sort of making me nervous because I've been a member here for a couple years, and a lot of you have seen my face maybe, but you don't know who you're looking at. Alan was talking about being thankful to live in America and having all these wonderful accommodations and things we take for granted. And reminded me of a conversation I was having with my mom and dad on Thanksgiving. Almost 3 years ago, I was released from the Department of Corrections after a long time for something very terrible. What I like to say that I'm thankful for is for freedom, because you don't understand what you don't have until you don't have it, or what you have until you don't have it anymore. I was talking to my mom on Thanksgiving. I said, you know, like today, Mom, I woke up when I wanted to. I chose the outfit that I wanted to wear. I didn't have to wear a sorry uniform. I would be up in an assigned time. I said, I ate what I wanted to at lunch. I got to pick and choose. So I'm thankful for freedom. I'm thankful for the Renewal Sister who just got up here. She's the one who inspired me to get out of my seat, because she said it was more comfortable where she was sitting. And I said, oh, gee whiz, I got to go now. But I'm thankful for freedom. I'm thankful for recovery. I'm thankful for healing. I'm thankful for North Hills and wonderful family. My sister and brother-in-law are members here with their kids. And thankful for Peter, for Alan. This is an amazing place, and I feel home here. Thank you.
Lord, thank you for the miracles that you're working in our midst, just for the way you've rescued Todd and continue to build him up. Thank you for the way that he understands freedom in a way many of us take for granted. And so as we look back with gratefulness, Lord, we do pray for our church this next year, that you would fill us with a thankful heart, and Lord, that you would fuel us through that work of grace you do in our hearts to reach out to people who are in a situation very much like Todd was in a few years ago, with no hope and in total bondage. And Lord, we thank you as we look back even over this year, even over last week, the people that you brought to know you here on Sunday, the people you are setting free from addiction to drugs and alcohol, to possessions, debt, to anger, fear, and all sorts of other addictions, Lord, to ourselves. And Lord, transforming us into worshipers. Thank you for the way you're setting us free. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.